From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. If you're a man between the ages of 65 and 80, you should be getting regular prostate cancer screenings. Now a new study says that if you or someone you know is diagnosed, waiting for treating could be problematic. Most cancer diagnoses come with an immediate call to action: chemotherapy, surgery, or radiation. But prostate cancer can be slow-moving, and some doctors say it's better to wait. Others, however, do not. Findings from the report are raising eyebrows within the medical community. What does it all mean for African-American men who die from prostate cancer more than any other group? NPR's Tony Cox talked to a medical expert who puts the science in perspective. Later, a congressman discusses what he's doing to address the disparity. But first, more on the controversial report published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Tony spoke with the study's leading author, Dr. Yuning Wong of the Fox Chase Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
We use data from linked SEER Medicare databases, which contain information on patients who were diagnosed and treated with prostate cancer from 1991 to 1999. And we looked at the men who received treatment with either radiation therapy or surgery during the first 6 months past their treatment, compared to patients who did not receive treatment during this time interval. And we found that patients who received treatment lived longer than the patients who were observed. One of the caveats of an observational study is that we know that patients who receive treatment may be inherently different than the patients who did not receive active treatments. But we did find that the benefit of treatment did persist after adjusting for all the observed potential differences.
Why are some patients advised to wait instead of undergoing treatment right away after they've been diagnosed?
The benefit of treatment in elderly patients has been a subject of significant controversy. I think watchful waiting has been considered the least harmful option for patients, since many prostate cancers can be slow growing and never be destined to cause disease or symptoms. Unfortunately, some patients do die of prostate cancer, so in patients who are healthy and have a prolonged life expectancy, it still may be a very reasonable treatment option.
Was it your belief that watchful waiting or the issues surrounding the efficacy of that, is that what led you to conduct this study?
Yeah, I was interested in seeing whether or not there was a benefit of treatment in patients with what we refer to as lower intermediate risk prostate cancer. There are definitely some prostate cancers that are more aggressive and do warrant upfront treatment. There are other cancers, however, that may be much more slow-growing, and I wanted to see whether or not there would be a benefit to treating that group of patients.
So if I've just been diagnosed with prostate cancer, let's say, what do I do?
It's important to speak to a group of physicians, obviously your family practitioner, your internist, a urologist, and a radiation oncologist. These physicians can help you discuss what the possible treatment options are, what your risk of developing signs and symptoms from the cancer are, and whether or not treatment is a reasonable option for you based in the context of your other medical problems.
So what would you say, Dr. Wong, are the potential far-reaching implications of this study?
I think it's important for patients to realize that there may be a benefit to treatment. Obviously, this study is an observational study and comes with many limitations, and therefore it needs to be interpreted within those limitations. I think patients should speak to their physicians about both the risks and benefits of treatment, the benefits being possibly prolonged survival, but balanced against the risks of potential side effects from therapy.
Now, you've already acknowledged that the study's design has some built-in limitations, and skeptics have also pointed that out. Are you concerned at all that this study's results will confuse rather than clear up the picture that prostate victims face in terms of deciding what course to take?
I think that this treatment of prostate cancer is already a very complicated one, and this study is one piece of a very complicated puzzle. I hope that it motivates patients to at least discuss the possibility of treatment with their physicians, and even if they decide not to pursue active treatment, that it encourages them to still pursue aggressive follow-up care. It's important for patients to know that observation doesn't mean do nothing. It means to continue to follow carefully with their doctors.
Final thing is this, Dr. Wong. There is a racial component to prostate cancer as a disease. Does your study in any way address that issue, and for African Americans who are at the highest risk of getting prostate cancer, does your finding hold true for them in the same way that it would for others?
Yeah, we did look at the subset of African American men and still found that there was a benefit to treatment.
It's very important what you are sharing, and we want to thank you for that.
Thank you. I enjoyed speaking with you.
Dr. Yu-Ning Wang is an oncologist and the lead author of the newly published prostate cancer study in the Journal of the American Medical Association. But as we just heard Dr. Wang acknowledge, there is disagreement within the medical profession over the study's controversial finding. One of those who questions the study's result is Dr. Mark Litwin, a professor of urology and public health at UCLA, who told me he had problems with how the study was conducted.
The study that she led was methodologically terrific, and I commend her for doing a great amount of work. The problem is you can't take shortcuts in research. And unfortunately, trying to draw conclusions that she did out of what's called an observational study, which is what this was, is problematic. My principal issues are this. In her study, she reported that elderly men who were treated for prostate cancer had longer survivals than elderly men who were just observed for their prostate cancer. My contention is that, in fact, the benefit in survival that those men who were treated derived was not because they were treated from their prostate cancer, but because they were inherently healthier to begin with. So it was a selection issue. That's my primary contention. The second is that even though the men who were treated were less likely to die from prostate cancer, the difference was fairly small. So among the men who were treated, 6.8% of them died over the next 12 years. But really the difference in survival between 6.8% of men dying versus 8% of men dying is not dramatic enough that we should put the accelerator to the floor and start treating many, many elderly men who are diagnosed with prostate cancer.
To follow up on that point then, does this report muddy the water for newly diagnosed patients who already face a wide range of complicated choices?
Well, I think that this report doesn't muddy the water as much as it is provocative. It means that we really ought to be attentive to individual patient preferences when men are diagnosed with prostate cancer. That's true for any man diagnosed with prostate cancer, but particularly for elderly men with prostate cancer. The issue that's really key is that what's important in prostate cancer treatment is not only survival, but also quality of life.
One of the things that you've said is that you have to be careful not to over-treat when it comes to prostate cancer and that the treatment can be worse than the cancer itself. I suppose you could call that a quality of life issue, but the question is, what's an example of overtreatment?
An example of overtreatment would be taking a 78-year-old man who has significant other medical problems and saying, hey, this study showed that you're more likely to live longer if we treat your prostate cancer, so let's sign you up for radiation or surgery. That individual is really unlikely to benefit from treatment for his prostate cancer, but he's very likely to end up with quality of life problems after the treatment.
Why has watchful waiting, Doctor, been so prevalent as a diagnosis?
Watchful waiting is prevalent as a treatment option because more men die with prostate cancer than of prostate cancer. And so watchful waiting is a very important potential treatment that all men with prostate cancer ought to consider, but particularly elderly men, that is, people over the age of 65 or 70.
One more thing. Should the treatment differ for black men since they have the highest rate of prostate cancer?
No, the treatment should not differ. Once a man is diagnosed with prostate cancer, the treatment decision has to be individualized, and the patient's race doesn't enter into what treatment he should receive. What is important for African American men is that because they do have a higher prevalence of prostate cancer, they should consider being screened with PSA tests earlier on in life, perhaps starting at age 40.
Dr. Litwin, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Dr. Mark Litwin is a professor of urology and public health at UCLA. While the medical community is debating the merits of this new finding regarding the treatment of prostate cancer, a related and arguably larger issue has been raised on Capitol Hill. African American men are by far the largest group of victims of prostate cancer, and the federal government is being asked to do more to help. New York Congressman Gregory Meeks, who introduced a resolution to that effect, told News & Notes that the bigger problem for black male victims of prostate cancer isn't deciding which treatment to get, but getting treated at all.
When you look at it, you know, most studies show that African American men die at a substantially higher rate than whites and others because we don't have the amount of treatment. And that's the greatest disparity, I think, of all cancers there is when you talk about the prostate cancer. So no, African-American men do not receive the same kind of treatment as others.
Now, the report of the study done by Dr. Wong that came out in the American Medical Association Journal suggests that there should be not as much watchful waiting as had been previously thought, although there is not a unanimity of agreement about that. From what you know about prostate cancer, and particularly as it relates to African Americans, what is your thought, if you have one, with regard to whether or not watchful waiting is something to be looked at differently now?
I think that what has shown to be the case is that if you're treated early for prostate cancer, then it is very curable. Too many African-American men die from it because they're not treated early, and they either ignore or don't have access to the health care that's needed so that you can prevent the cancer from continuing to grow and causing individuals to die. The statistic that I saw, researchers found that black men with moderate-grade cancers were 36% less likely than white men to receive treatment. And Hispanic men were 16% less likely than white men to receive treatment. And so I think that's, you know, part of what the problem is here.
Now, your resolution attempts to address that. What would be the actual impact of the resolution on this issue?
The idea of the resolution, which is recognizing prostate cancer to be at epidemic proportions in the African-American men, and what it's doing is urging federal agencies to address this health crisis by designated funds for education and awareness outreach and for research specifically focused on this disease and as it affects African-American men. It's too quiet. It's an epidemic going on. And so this bill is to bring to the conscience of the Congress first that there is an epidemic out there, then to try to make sure that we have some dollars to begin to resolve this epidemic. And I'm hopeful with Charlie Rangel now chairing the Ways and Means Committee, and Ways and Means has a jurisdiction over health, that we will now be able to put forth a proactive agenda to combat and educate particularly African-American men of this crisis of prostate cancer.
Congressman, thank you very much. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
That was New York Congressman Gregory Meek speaking with NPR's Tony Cox. We also heard from Dr. Mark Litwin of UCLA and Dr. Yu-Ning Wong of the Fox Chase Center in Philadelphia.